Most depressing book in the Bible. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. There are a lot of sermons in the Bible. There are just a lot of sermons. Of course, the most famous is probably the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, which wasn't directed to us, but half of the world thinks it was, or at least likes to pretend it was. And there are other sermons that he preached. There are many of the messages of the prophets that you could say were sermons. But probably the longest sermon in the Bible, and probably a textbook case. I mean, if you want to teach how to put a sermon together, it is all the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is a sermon, people. That's exactly what it is. Now, before I begin and show that, I want to say this. There are four books here that I tell people to read through the book cover to cover. When you get done, read it cover to cover. When you get done, read it cover to cover. Say, when do I stop? When you die.
Amen.
And not before that, you know. And there are four books, though, just to show you what you need. You've got the book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Now, the book of Psalms speaks to the spirit. All right. Whenever you're down, that's a good place to go. When you're feeling bad, read the Song of Solomon. Did I say Song of Solomon?
Yeah.
Don't listen to me. Anyway, be like my wife. Anyway, but read the Psalms, okay? Don't read Job. You got no business being in Job. That's not you. He went through all of that, which is much more than you've ever gone through, and he went through it without a Bible. Okay? So don't go playing the violin and comparing yourself to Job. Because we have no business in the same class with him.
Amen.
But when you're down, read the Psalms, and that will get you up. When I tell you to read the Bible cover to cover, I tell people to read a proverb every day. I already read Proverbs 24 today.
Amen.
And the reason you read those slow, you read one a day, there's one for every day of the month, because the proverb speaks to the soul. Psalm speaks to the spirit. Proverbs speaks to the soul. You will never read Proverbs, but that you don't see something you need.
Amen.
There's always something. And what Proverbs will do is it'll put character into you. And by the way, if you think that James is the book that talks the most about the tongue and how bad it is, it's because you haven't read Proverbs.
Amen.
All right, Proverbs walks all over your tongue, man. I mean, it's like an 18-wheeler. Just kind of backs up and stops.
Yeah.
The next book is the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is a man's carnal way of looking at everything. All right, I'm telling you the truth. You know what a man thinks of the whole world? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. I mean, that's the truth. You know, some woman says, we got a new dishwasher. And the man says, something we have to fix. Just one more thing to fix. One more thing to break. That's all. I mean, that's what we believe. Oh, the new house has two bathrooms. That just means twice the leaks.
Yeah.
Nobody can take the joy out of living like a man.
Yeah,
all right, I mean, that's the truth. And the reason, and I'll tell you what, now we're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and when we're done, that's why I tell you, it's a depressing book. When you read it, be happy.
Amen.
Because don't read this when you're sad.
Yeah.
All right, you're already depressed when you go into it. We'll find your body with a smoking gun and a note that said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, you know. This will end your existence, all right? So, the book of Ecclesiastes, now, I'll tell you who needs the book of Ecclesiastes, particularly, and I don't see this bad, women need that.
Yeah.
Women tend to be a little more emotional than men.
We are not!
That's what they usually say. But, and sometimes a woman needs to look at this, you know, either right after she's gone through the wish book, you know?
Yeah.
Right after you've been looking through your Sears catalog and everything else, getting excited about all those things, you need to read Ecclesiastes to get your feet back in the ground.
Amen.
Now, the next book is Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon's all emotional.
Yeah.
And that is just a woman, you know, that's just, my love, my dove, I'm defiled. Your eyes are like the pools of Heshbon. Your teeth are like the sheep that come down to be at the watering, and there's not one after missing. I mean, you know the guy thinks that? Oh, give me a break, man. The Song of Solomon is mush.
Amen.
It is inspired mush.
Amen. Amen.
Gentlemen, eat your mush.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
The people in this room that need the Song of Solomon more than anybody are men.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, fellas, you learn how to talk to your wife by reading the Song of Solomon. Your wife is not one more of the children to be disciplined like a child.
Amen, brother.
And your wife is not like the car and like the range and like the dishwasher supposed to do the work when you want. Your wife is a lady.
Amen.
And the Song of Solomon will add the heart to a man, because we're walking around screaming, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And we are all cut and dried, thought processed. What are the advantages? What will be the long term? And mom just wants to buy a dozen of them because they're on sale.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, the lady needs Ecclesiastes to kind of to trim her sails a little bit. But, gentlemen, we need to be nice to our wives. We really do. We need to be nice to ladies in general.
Amen.
You need to hold the door not just for your wife. When you're going to the store, you need to hold it for about a half dozen women going through there. All right?
Amen.
I'm serious.
Amen.
A couple of ladies, my boys know if they're holding that door, it stays open for all them ladies to get through. Slam it on that man. Anyway. Now, we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, and this is, as I said, it is a textbook sermon. Who preaches a sermon? No, who preaches a sermon? Preacher. Look at verse 1. Words of the preacher. Ooh, can I get a glass of water? Something just happening here. Are you allowed a glass of water? I'll drink it all if I get it, honest. The word Ecclesiastes means preacher. All right, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Now, when you present a sermon, you have a theme. You have an idea that you're trying to get across. All sermons have that. Many times the preacher comes up with an idea and then says, if I can just find a scripture to prove this, this would be a great message.
Yeah.
All right? Now, that's generally what we sometimes do. I never preach those kind, but I know some guys in California that do.
Yeah.
But look what it says, verse 2. Here is his theme. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That is his theme, all right? In other words, everything he builds in this message, a 13-point message, everything he builds in this message is going to be based on the fact that everything is vanity, okay? And he is going to go down through here, and he's going to pick everything you like apart. I'm telling you, no one, thank you. Boy, it must be rationing. Well, at least he took the fish out. And so everything he builds is going to be on that theme that all is vanity. All right, now, we're going to look at the vanities. Like I said, there's 13 vanities, and we'll get them done, and I'll show you how it ends up. All right, chapter 2, first one, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. The first vanity that this preacher shows up and shows us is the vanity of pleasure. You say, why? Well, there's several reasons. First off, that's the first thing a kid thinks of. What's a kid care? We're going to somebody's church and Luke will start quizzing us. Do they have any kids?
Yeah.
You know what I want to know? He wants to know if they got any toys.
Yeah.
One time a preacher said, you guys come over to my house, and looked up the preacher and said, you got toys at your house? That's all he wants to know. See, I mean, we're going to get down to some serious playing.
Amen.
All right? I mean, that's, you know, we've got some playing to get in here.
Yeah.
And so, he thinks I bring him all over the country just so he can play in different parts. You know, he's played in playgrounds all across the country. But that's it. See, we think of pleasure. Our generation is pleasure-oriented.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? I'm going to tell you the truth. This has got not going to do with pleasure, probably, but I am a product of my generation. I believe in padded pews. I don't care if stuff that wood hard, you know, I mean, I don't know if I'm not padded in all the right places when they used to be, but I like padded pews. I like air conditioning, and I tell people that if I'd have been saved in January and, you know, we're going to break the ice on the creek, the baptism, I'd have been a Methodist till July, pal.
Amen.
That's what I did. I said, you pour something on my head, you wait till July, sucker. I ain't getting no cold water for nobody.
Amen.
All right? And I'm just a product of my generation, but we are pleasure-oriented.
Amen.
We were in Death Valley before we came here. We had a couple of days, and we took the boys to Death Valley. They found a way out. But I told Kathy, we're looking at it, we're saying, oh, isn't it beautiful? But you know, the reason we can say that is because our bellies are full.
Yeah.
We've got air conditioning in the van.
Yeah.
And we've got a highway that leads us out.
Yeah.
And we've got a motel or something you can stay in. And so we can stop and enjoy the beauty.
Yeah.
Hey, when those guys came through, hey, listen, the Grand Canyon to the wagon train is just a big hole they had to go around.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
They did not stop and say, my, isn't this gorgeous? Why, let's get some mules and go to church. Let's get around this stinking thing. We've been traveling for days trying to get around it, all right?
Yeah.
And so now we have time to have pleasure. Pleasure is vanity, all right? He's telling you pleasure is vanity. And if you base your life on pleasure, you will base your life on vanity.
Amen.
And if all you think about is how much fun you're going to have and how much you're going to enjoy yourself, then you're going to have vanity. Now look what it says, verse 15. After the pleasure came this, then said I in my heart, as it has happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I yet more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? as the fool. The next thing he sought was wisdom. And what did he say about wisdom? He said wisdom is vanity. You know why I put it in that order? Because you take the kid, and when the kid, he plays, and he plays, and he plays. And then what happens? Then you decide when you, you know, you're above that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even in the teen years, you know, it's time to play. But now it's, I'm going to college, I'm a business major.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm going to have a bunch of letters behind my name, and now I'm going to be a student, and I'm going to be a scholar. You know what he just told you? It's vanity.
Amen.
I don't have the verse marked. I want to say it's in Psalms. But, I don't have the verse marked, but it says that men of low degree are vain, and men of high degree, ready for this? Remember all the THDs and DDs and PhDs, men of high degree are a lie.
Amen. Right.
You know why? Because as the saying goes, they put their britches on the same way every other guy in here does, all right? And people forget that. And they have all the same problems and the same vanities and the same personalities. And so he says that wisdom is vanity. I've seen educated people. I knew a guy that could, I'm telling you the truth. I knew a guy that read through the encyclopedia twice. Just for fun. Now, you know, his idea of pleasure. Yeah, you know. I mean, this guy is a whiz. And I watched him try to open up a folding chair. I watched him for 10 minutes. The last five of it, I was on the ground. All right. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the kind that go click, 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 click. You know, and you got to close them and open them, and you got to open the legs first. And this guy, he opens it up, but the legs are folded. Now the legs won't open. So he flips it upside down and opens up the legs, but then the things go. But they didn't go far enough to fall back. So now he turns it over and it's up like this. And he pushes that in, and the whole thing falls over, and the leg collapses. And I'm watching this. And I'm telling you what, brother, there were tears in my eyes by the time this thing was done. I'm saying, more, more. I mean, man, listen, if they'd have had videos then, brother, I'd have got the 10 grand, all right? I mean, it'd have been, you know, my film would have been on World Funniest Home Videos right behind that one on those police questioning that suspect. But I'm telling you the truth, man. You say, what is it? It's vain.
Amen.
It's vain.
Amen.
Wisdom is vain. And so look at verse 19, then you go for this one. And who knoweth whether he, talking about his son, who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise unto the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. What he's saying now, here's what happens. When you're teen, you think of the pleasure. Then you go to college and you come out with, you know, you were hippie, now you're young.
Yeah. Amen.
And now you think of labor. Now you're going to make, I knew a guy one time, he said, I'm working on my second $1 million. I said, I can't believe, see, I give up my first. But, that's what we're, you know, we're going to labor. We're going to get our reputation, and we're going to work, and we're going to get all of our stuff, and I'm going to drive my BMW and actually have it paid for. And you know what you find? He's saying, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I start my business, and he said, I make my million, and what I do, I turn over to my kid, who has never had his nose to the grindstone, who has never experienced things I've experienced, and he takes the thing, and it falls apart.
Yeah.
Many businesses that have a man's name, even if they're successfully run today, are probably not run by the family.
Yeah. Amen.
Junior bailed out. Hey, the Ford company, brother. I mean, when Henry Ford II took over, he made the Edsel.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I want an Edsel. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And you know what he's saying? He's saying, I work and I work and I work and my labor and my labor. And what is it? It's vanity.
Amen.
You ever fix your house up and then you leave it and you come back about 3 years later? You know, you sell it. You come back 3 years later and you see that they've got 3 cars on cement blocks out in the front yard and the paint is being. You say, look at all the work I did. Look what they did. They haven't trimmed the tree. They haven't done anything with the shrubs. Look at the flowers. They're stupid dogs. Man, it just showed you everything you did was vain.
Amen.
And that means everything you're doing now is vain. All right?
Amen.
And you know, we, listen people, there was a day when we wanted a roof to keep the rain off our heads. We wanted a house so that we had an indoor commode. And we wanted to be able to sleep where we could control the environment with heat and air. And we wanted to keep the rain. You've kept the rain off your heads pretty well because there hadn't been much out here. But we wanted the rain off our heads. But now we're not satisfied unless we live in a page out of Country Living Magazine.
Amen.
You know what it is? It's vanity.
Amen.
That's what it is. All right, look what he says now, verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. And what he's saying is that God will give what he wants to give to who he wants to give it. And there blows the reputation. We try for a reputation because that's the order. You want to play, pleasure, then you go for the education, wisdom, then you labor, and what do you want? You want a good reputation. Is that not true?
Yeah.
There may be some places you do business. Why? They have a good reputation. But even the Bible says it only takes a little folly to destroy a reputation.
Yeah.
It only takes a little folly. I am not down on LAPD. But it only took a little folly. You know, I saw two cops in a car, I think it was on our way over here this morning. And I thought, you know what, those guys probably clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
But, brother, the whole place has got a bad reputation.
Right. Yeah.
And you work for reputation, and you work for reputation. You know what happens? You'll work for reputation, and you'll work for reputation. You know what? They'll award the contract to the guy's son.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, what did I do this for? For nothing.
Amen.
That's why it's vain. Now, if you're getting ready to blow your brains out, give me let me get about 9 more points here. We'll get you all done. Chapter 3. Here's what he says in verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Now, I'm going to tell you what this one's talking about. It's talking about the world order. I'm not talking about a new world order, and I'm not trying to do anything adult today. What I mean is this. There is a world order. Beasts are not equal to us.
Amen.
Now, are you ready for this? You sitting
Amen.
Down?
Amen.
Some people aren't as good as you. You believe that, and you know it's true. I mean, some of you were just not drunk last night, and some of you have had bad lives and bad homes, and you have pulled yourself up. And now in my case, man, listen, it was only Jesus Christ that turned me around, all right? But whatever it was, listen, there is the guy who uses a bad father as an excuse to be a drunk.
Yeah, that's right.
And there is a guy who uses a bad father as an excuse to be a good father.
Amen. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I tell people, my father never told me he loved me a day in his life. So every time I make a mistake, all I could do is just say, well, you know, my father,
yeah, right.
He didn't love me. He didn't. Oh, it's my dad's doing this. No, I'm a low-life bum. That's my problem.
Amen.
Listen, my father never told me he loved me. My boys don't go a day without hearing that I love them. They don't hear it. Or they don't go a day without hearing it. Because I love my sons, and I've used my father's bad example to try to turn it for a good example, all right?
Yeah.
Not saying, you know, use it as an excuse and a crutch every time I want. And, hey, you know, when I was lost, when I was a teenager, I stole cars. But I was born too soon. I was born far too soon. I was born about 15 years too soon. You see, I used to steal cars, and they'd say, why? Yeah, because I was rotten. That's why I stole them cars. I was just rotten and wicked. But see, if I'd have been born about 15 years later, I'd have said, well, you know, my father, he doesn't love me, and I'm just trying. I'm calling out for help.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get his attention. And everybody would have looked at me, the stinking, rotten, punk kid, and said, "Oh, what a wicked father!"
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There is a world order. You have worked hard. Many of you have worked hard, and then there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Isn't it true?
Amen.
I'm not talking about race, I'm not talking about color, I'm talking about people.
Right.
And there are people that couldn't care less. Listen, man, I mean, right about the time you think you made it, some hippie walks past you and you go, whew, you know? We're not the same.
Amen.
All right? And yet, you know what you find out? You find out it's all vanity. He said, man, listen, you died just like a beast died.
Right.
And when you die, you smell the same. I think that hippie already died. Chapter 4. Verse 4, again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity. and vexation of spirit. So much for competition. I don't know what you own just for the sake of your neighbor. I don't know what you've ever purchased or put out there, or at least put out the empty. You know, if nothing else, if you're going to have fun, just go get shipping cartons, you know, that have pictures of microwaves and new dishwashers, and put those in front of you. Go behind an appliance store. You know, just lay it out there in the driveway and drive the neighbors crazy. Drive them broke. You know, that's a fourth microwave they bought this week. And you know, there is a competition. There is competition. Yes, what did he just say? He said it's vanity. I mean, right about time you think that you're going to get it, all of a sudden you find out the money that you put, the savings alone you put your bank in, it all went belly up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan Cranston. I thought I'd add that. Anyway, but people, what I'm saying is you find out that competition is vanity. I'm going to tell you something else. Now, I'm not much of a sports person. But there are guys, you know, and there's guys, I mean, they're competitors. I mean, they'll play round ball all day and they'll play football and else. And then they go out there and they go, oh, man.
Pop the hood.
Oh, man.
They're dribble ball pals. That's all you can do.
And some 8-year-old kid says, hey, mister, when my dad does this wire right here, try it now.
Yeah, nice one, kid. Boy, mister, you're stupid.
Oh, you know what my point average is? Wouldn't have got you out of the parking lot, pal.
Amen.
Wouldn't have got you out of the parking lot.
Amen.
Vanity, right?
Amen.
You find that it doesn't matter what you attain or what you try to attain.
Right.
Right about time you think you've made it, somebody finds out what you don't know, and then you feel like a jerk. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, you know, people they're just like preaching. You know, he's in Bible, blah, blah, blah. And then they say, play basketball. I say, no, man, I can't walk two gum at the same time. I'm telling the truth. I played basketball by football rules.
Yeah.
That and hockey. I mean, it's hip check and tackle. That's all I know, you know. I like football because I don't know the rules.
Yeah.
All I have to do, I don't have to be the quarterback. I just get on the line. When they snap the ball, I hit the guy across from me. I like that. There's no thinking involved in that. There's no play memorization. Just the ball goes off the ground, he goes on the ground. Nothing to that. But people, you know, you say, and people say, well, do you golf? Oh. I was arrested once for attempted golf. I'm telling you the truth, man. I had this preacher. He says, "You like golf?" I said, "Well, I've golfed enough to know I should play racquetball." He says, "Well, we're going to golf." I said, "You like to golf?" He said, "Yeah, I like to golf." I said, "You're not going to appreciate this." Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, like one fellow said. He said, "The problem with my golf is they don't mow where I hit. Man, they don't even chop down the trees where I hit, honey. They don't even get rid of the Indians where I hit. I mean, man, it's out there." But I mean, we have them brought back in by helicopters. But the idea of competition, you try to compete with somebody, whether it's inner family, whether it's inner mural, whether it's inner church.
Amen.
It's vain.
Amen.
It's vain.
Amen.
And I'm gonna tell you something else. You never did get anything made you happy.
Right.
I mean, they got one. If you only got one because they got one, it didn't make you happy.
Right.
You didn't know what to do with it. You ended up putting it in your attic when it broke. You know how to operate this stinking thing. But you just wanted one.
Yeah.
You know.
Damn it.
And competition. Yeah. Look what else it says in verse 8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Look what it says. Yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Folks, I don't know where you shop. You know, I shop at the Baptist Mall, Kmart. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I found about that place? Kmart doesn't sell happiness.
Amen.
And neither does all the what do they call it, upscale stores and the high-dollar stores. They don't sell happiness.
Amen.
You know, we got a misconception. And what's really sad is it's we Christians that have the same misconception that the lost world has. We have the same misconception.
Amen.
That, as I was saying earlier, we no longer live in homes now. We are not homeowners anymore. We are museum curators. We have living rooms no one can sit in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in a house one time, man, listen, they had two porcelain elephants. I mean, now you know you're upscale when they got two porcelain elephants. And rather than what's your bird? Parakeet? Cockatoo? Cockatiel? Oh, okay. Because well, this one had a cockatoo. You know, that's a, hey, just a chicken with a hat on. Is all it is. And I go past this place, you know, I go past that bird. Every time I go past that bird, I go. I let that owner get about 4 steps ahead of me. I backed up. I said, look, pal. I said, you are nothing but a chicken with a hat on. I'm a Baptist preacher. I know what to do with a chicken. He took his hat off. You know what that is? That's vanity.
Amen.
Look, I believe you have a house. You ought to have it bricked or painted. I think you ought to have nice carpet. And I'm not telling people you got to wear burlap and eat off paper plates. All right? I'm saying the truth. What I am saying is don't, it's Country Living Magazine and Southern Living Magazine and Midwestern Living. I'm going to have one called Ghetto Living. It's going to be pencil drawn on the paper bags of grocery stores. I thought that would be the nice brown paper bag. I thought that would be real handy, you know. Maybe we'll even leave the bag and I can tear it off so that at least it'll double as a bag person. But here's what's happened, people. We no longer want a house to live in. Now we have a picture in our mind that we're trying, you know. I mean, I've seen people with more baskets hunting. Now look, there's probably some with baskets here, and I'm going to get in trouble this week, all right? I mean, I do. I get in trouble. I won't say anything about geese in the kitchen, okay? I won't say anything about how many of you probably have geese in the kitchen. I got a feeling that it's either going to be replaced by bunny rabbits or watermelons in the next. But hey, you know what? Here's why. I remember when it was mushrooms. Do you?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I remember when it was strawberry shortcake.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I remember when it was daisies. And so now it's geese. And you said, oh, yeah, but I had this for anybody else. That's what the last 5 women I've talked to said. And the next time your interior decorator magazine changes from geese to bunny rabbits or watermelons, it'll be that next time. And I'm telling you, people, listen, there is, he says, the eye is not satisfied with riches.
Amen.
And you see what you have to have. You see one more suit you guys have to have, one more dress you ladies have to have, one more $500 set of ski boots that you got to have, one more $500 shotgun. I don't know what women spend their money on, except, you know, got to have a dollhouse. Oh, yeah, got to have a dollhouse. You're 8 years old again. And again, I'm probably in trouble. Probably somebody that assembles them here in church, all right? I mean, whenever I say this, we're not talking foot, we're talking about up to the thigh. Then they can't give anything to a missionary back on a board.
Yeah, amen, man. Amen.
I tell people this, listen, you want to have fun? Go back to this bulletin board, pick any one of those missionaries, and for the next 18 months, send them $37.50. Send them $55. Send them $55 a month. $55? Crazy? Are you crazy? What can we think we're made of money? You do that to buy the little cars in Reader's Digest.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that right?
Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother.
I mean, you spend it $37.50, and that's not counting the $6.95 postage.
Yeah, right.
And you'll send that. I mean, if you ever add those things up, listen, every Reader's Digest has about 4 or 5 of those. Every magazine. You pick up a Sunday paper today, and in that Sunday advertisement, there'll be at least 3. You know, the little dolly, little boy blue. You know, oh, everybody wants little boy blue. No, I don't. And I really like to buy this plate from famed painter, you know, Marvin Schwarzenheimer, who no one has heard of, two blocks beyond his house. But he got his picture in the Sunday thing, and you're going to buy the plate. And the chances are that in 1,000 years, this will be worth $2, not $1. I'm telling you the truth. And, hey, now all I'm saying is this. You can buy all the porcelain birdies you want at Kmart.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay $37.50 for them. Oh, I know. You get the free case. Well, what a deal. You add those things up, you know what it comes out to be? And about the end of 18 months, you've paid something like $900. You wouldn't give $900 to that missionary back there. I'll tell you what. I hope the nail comes out of the wall. And I hope at least $300 worth of your stuff breaks in half. I'm serious.
Amen.
Not because you have things. I tell people there is nothing wrong with possessing things. There is something wrong with things possessing us.
Amen. Amen.
And when all you're going to do is try to have things and all you're going to do is try to attain some kind of a status symbol, you know what you're going to find out? As soon as you get there, you're going to find out somebody bought one bigger and one shinier and one newer.
Amen.
And there is no satisfaction in this, and it is vanity.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. It's vanity.
Amen.
So just tear the picture. Well, I've got to have this. Let's see, we've got to lay this in the corner. Why? Well, because we have to lay this in the corner. Why? Well, that's where it lays in the picture. I ain't living in a picture! All right. I mean, my goodness, you probably got more square footage in your bathroom than we got in our whole trailer.
Yeah, amen.
And so we don't lay nothing up. You learn to hate balloons when you live in a trailer. I got to move on, man. My needle got stuck. Verse 16. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. And it says you may think of something now. When you die, whoever comes after you won't know who you are. So much for fame.
Yeah, amen.
So much for fame. I'll only tell you this, y'all. This was years ago. I was on the staff of the Massive Baptist Temple Church, about 1,800 people. We split our hospital calls between the Massillon hospitals and the Canton hospitals. There are about two in each town. And I came in one day and the secretary said, Eric Estrada is in the hospital. And I said, well, which hospital is she in? I said, I've got Canton. If it's Canton hospitals, I can go see her. She said, no, not Erica Strada, Eric Estrada. It's a man. I said, oh, well, is he in a Massillon or Canton hospital? She went, chips. I went, potato. I said, I like these games. She said, no, chips on TV. I said, we don't have any chips. We only have a TV. Well, then she told me that it was some guy dropped his motorcycle on a TV. For now, I don't know who the guy is, you know. And so much for fame. I mean, tell Eric Estrada, he'll probably shoot himself. Somebody didn't know me.
Amen.
You know, we all labor in this false assumption that if we quit our jobs, the place will fold up.
Amen.
You know how important you are? Stop at a graveyard and walk through and see how many people you don't recognize.
Amen, brother.
People who were born, lived, and died.
Amen.
And you never knew they existed.
Amen.
That book even says, man, here's a wise man. He delivers a city, but he's a poor man. And he delivers it by his wisdom. And after he's delivered, everybody forgets all about him.
Right.
And so much for fame.
Amen.
So much for fame. We want everybody to know who we are. I'm going to tell you something. They'll forget you 5 minutes after your will has been read.
Amen.
Look at chapter 5. Verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So much for solid investment.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, it says silver, not gold. But I had a guy one time, he said, I've got some silver buried in my backyard. I said, you know, for when it happens. You know, it. I said, how do you cook it?
Yeah.
I got news for you, pal. When it happens, you chew on that silver all day long. I mean, other than maybe fillings for your teeth, man, the gold and silver won't be any good.
Amen.
You said, but I got a solid investment. So did several thousand Californians.
Amen.
Right? And some of them are blowing the tops of their heads off.
Right. Amen.
Because their solid investment went down the slammers.
Right.
People, right about the time you think that you have got it. Hey, I hate to tell you, man, but if that war would have lasted much longer, and it did, it was over fast, but if it had lasted about 3 years, all of the antique signs would have come down and junk would have went back up. All right. Well, I bought this because, you know if this going to be worth someday? It's not going to matter.
Yeah.
I know people, they say, well, I'm collecting this because someday it's going to be worth this. I've seen people, where they collected. They can never reverse the switch.
Yeah.
Until finally they've got everything flat in the house full of something.
Yeah.
And they can never get rid of it because, well, that's valuable. Well, that's a solid investment. Yeah, but nobody wants to buy what you've got.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the people, listen, there is no more solid investment than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right? Now, that's it. And beyond Him, if you want something you can put your hands on, it's this book.
Amen.
Now, that book won't change.
Right.
I mean, the price of gold and silver goes up and down. And and by the way, what are you know our coins? Copper with the copper clad, you know, they call it with silver on the edges. You think that's an American idea? I read that the Roman Empire, when that thing started to fall, the denarius, which was about the size of a dime, it said toward the end of the Roman Empire, they made them out of copper and dipped them in silver. Our U.S. Treasury, man, they didn't learn nothing from history. Well, they did learn that from history, I guess. Chapter 6, verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So what's that mean? That means when you sit in your backyard, what you can see, be glad you got.
Amen.
And don't think about what the neighbor's got.
Amen.
Well, he's got a yard blower. Well, he's got an electric charcoal. That's right. I like to use the fluid. I like just the thought of maybe hurting the air helps me. your dumb gas things, you know, put that with that. It says, don't top off. Don't tell me don't top off, pal. I top mine off. When I pulled them off, I bought a gallon of gas. I said, see, you waste your money. Yeah, but it did my heart good knowing that some Californian was upset about it. some earth firster was down there going, look. I said, don't breathe here. Don't breathe here. You know what you need to do? You need to quit worrying. And what this is, the vanity of covetousness. Now, I know that none of you have a statue of Mary in your front yard. But that book says covetousness is idolatry.
Amen, brother.
A covetous person is an idolater.
Amen.
And if you've posted your heart on something else, be it somebody's car, somebody's wife, somebody's reputation, whatever it is, when you find that you desire, don't you realize all those catalogs, those are just books to make you covet?
Amen.
Don't you know that every commercial on your TV is just designed to show you what you need when you didn't know it?
Amen.
You curse the thing at Christmas because you say, oh, my kid, he wouldn't want that toy if he hadn't seen it. Same thing about his old man, 364
Amen.
Other days.
Right?
Amen. You wouldn't. It slices and it dices and Ronco makes it. What you find out is you don't need it. You need the guy that operates it because it takes a college education. So you can't do anything with the thing. Covetousness.
Amen.
7 verse 6. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. When you finally get this far in the book, so you've just given up and you say, well, I'll just going to be party hardy. I mean, just go get, that's vanity.
Amen.
Even that is vanity. Even frivolity. That's what he's saying. Even the lightness. Even this, oh man, let's just get high and stay there till we die so we don't ever have to come down and face this world. Nope, it's vanity.
Amen.
It gets worse. Chapter 8. Verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. See, them wicked people are, that's vanity. Read verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. You know what's vanity? Wickedness. And righteousness.
Amen,
brother. I bet there's not one person in here who has tried to do well who doesn't know someone who's not trying to do well who's doing better.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
My trailer's got 200,000 miles on it. And the door doesn't close right now. And there's several things, you know. If you look at the tires, they're like this. Some guy says, hey, how long's that tire been? I said, since I hit a curb in Topeka, Kansas. It's been like that. I hit a hubcap heaven. Took the hubcaps off that side, bent the axle. I know this preacher who's a con man. I mean, listen, if he came here, he'd literally cry. He would guilt trip you, and you'd give him thousands of dollars. I'm telling you, you would, because he does every place he goes. And the guy travels by himself in a 40-foot, $150,000 bus. And I pack five people into a 32-foot trailer. That's got 200,000 miles on it. And you say, well, what do you think of that? I'll tell you what I think of it. I think I'm going to do right.
Yeah.
As long as I live by the grace of God, I'm going to do right. I'm not going to worry about him.
Yeah.
But there's a guy who does wrong. And he profits for it. Here's somebody who does right, doesn't profit quite as much.
Yeah.
And you know somebody that doesn't do as right as you,
right.
And they're doing better than you.
Right.
So are you telling us that we shouldn't try to live right? I think you should live as right as you can. I think you should abstain from the appearance of evil, not just evil.
Amen.
I think you should abstain from the appearance of evil. But I just want you to know that it is vanity, because there isn't all of the righteousness of everybody in here put together couldn't get one of us in the door of heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Our righteousnesses are as what?
Filthy
rags. Lastly, chapter 11. I'm telling you, it's a sermon. Verse 8. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that all these things of God will bring, all these things God will bring into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You find out that childhood and youth are vanity in verse 10, and up there in verse 8 you find out the guy that lived many years is vain. You say, well, what is vain?
Life.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just all drink grape juice today. I can't take any more. You say, well, you're just saying everything's vanity. That's what the preacher said.
Right.
Yeah.
Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And you watch a kid. You know what everyone you said after you got a few years where you start taking one step at a time and your shoulders started creaking when you reached for something high? You know what you watch? You watch a little kid and say, boy, if I could just get that energy.
Yeah.
The kid's got the energy, but he hasn't got the direction.
Right.
You got the direction, haven't got the energy. You know what you find out? You find it's all vain.
Amen.
It's all vain.
Amen.
So, when a preacher reaches the end of his sermon, now, he has tried to prove a point, correct? And so when you get to the end of the sermon, you repeat the point. Chapter 12, verse 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You see this? He's closing his message. He started it with his theme. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. He tells you, he takes 13 proof texts, proof points, to prove what he has said. Now that you're depressed, now that you're on the edge of suicide, he just wants to remind you, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Now, you know what you should be saying? Well, what do we live for?
Amen.
Verse 13. Let us hear what's the word? He's coming to conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What does he say? He said, vanity, vanity, all the vanity. When you've finally given up, you know what you should do? Listen, you should not leave here trying to think about painting and wallpaper in your house.
Amen.
You should leave here fearing God. The everlasting gospel, I believe it's Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. The everlasting gospel is to fear God. You always do well to be afraid of God.
Amen.
You always do well. He says, fear God, keep His commandments. Wait a second. The guy said it's all vanity. Right? So, why fear God and why keep His commandments? Next verse. For God shall bring every work into judgment, that every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Amen.
There's what you should be living for.
Right. Yeah.
He said, you better fear God and keep His commandments, because someday we're going to stand in front of God. It won't matter what you drove. And it won't matter about your reputation. And it won't matter about what your son did with the company. And it won't matter about how much you could drink. And it won't matter about you being the party animal. And it won't matter about how many letters you had. Listen, He is going to judge everything we do. And when it's good, it's going to come out all right. When it's evil, it's going to come out bad. And you know what you better do? You had better fear God and keep His commandments.
Amen.
And if you will fear God and keep His commandments, get your eyes off this world, you will fare well. You see, that's the invitation.
Yeah.
The invitation is, every head bowed, every eye closed, fear God, keep His commandments. How many of you will turn your back on what you have and fear God the rest of your lives and keep His commandments the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Why? Because someday you'll stand in front of Him.
Yeah.
That is the longest sermon. That is a textbook sermon. And it's a tremendous sermon. Tremendous sermon. If we get it down, you need to read it. Now, like I said, don't read it when you're depressed. You'll kill yourself. I'm depressed.